for our study tonight, 2 Timothy. We are going to look at together from last week. We'll start in verse number 6 of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 6 will be our text tonight. My wife for Christmas bought me one of those calendars that you rip off those, you know, the days, and every day there's a different joke. And so I've been saving the good ones, and I'm going to give you the ones I find funny. Now, I understand I have a warped sense of humor. You might not find these funny, but I think they're funny. Carrie might already know some of these. I test them on her. I always thought my neighbors were nice people, but then they put a password on their Wi-Fi. Why does a chicken coop only have two doors? Because if they had four doors, they would be a chicken sedan. Mother, Anton, do you think I'm a bad mother? Child, my name is Paul. Two fish are in the tank, in a tank. One fish turns to the other and says, "You man the guns, I'll drive." Come on, that's funny. What did the big chimney say to the little chimney? Nothing. Chimneys don't talk. And here's the last one. I didn't know my wife was a construction site thief, but when I got home, all the signs were there. All right. Let's go to the Bible. Chapter 3, verse number 6, the Bible says, "For of this sort are they which crept into houses, led captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Notice that expression, actually, as I'm reading this, the Spirit of God just pointed this out. The Bible says, "and all that will live godly." The reality is, it's a choice that we need to make if we're going to live for the Lord or if we're going to live for ourselves. There's only two choices on the shelf: live for God or live for self. And the Bible says those who decide to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. We looked at last, and this is number 2 in your notes, we looked at the lustful directions of these teachers, and the Bible talks about the fact that it's of this sort, which we went through the list, which kind of talks about the characteristics of the individuals that we find in this passage of Scripture. These are those who are promoting the flesh. Their promotion is to follow after the desires of the flesh and not after the desire of the Spirit, the direction of the Spirit. And so the Bible says they crept or they snuck into to trick families, influence homes, influence the family, and they get the attention of someone. The Bible says here of silly women, they thought they're weak women that have burden of sinful desires, and they're led away with diverse or different lusts. And they're ever learning, the Bible says, but they're never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, which I believe because they are never taught the truth, these false teachers are leading them astray. And then the Bible says, of this sort, not only are they promoting the flesh, but also they are resisting the truth. And it gives us an example here of two, Jannes and Jambres, and they withstood Moses. The word withstood means to resist. So they resisted Moses, and the thought is not the man, but the message. Understand that. The message that Moses had was God's message. And so they opposed God's man, they opposed God's message. We can read about that in Exodus chapter 7, verse 11. The Bible says they resisted the truth. Now we know from the Bible that it's dangerous to resist the truth. It's dangerous to say no to the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says here that these individuals resisted the truth, and because of that, they headed into a dangerous direction. They were reprobate concerning the faith. The word reprobate means unapproved. In other words, they were false teachers. They were not approved as men of God. They were not approved as God's messengers. They were reprobates. They were unapproved concerning the faith, concerning the doctrines of the faith. And the Bible says that time will tell, their folly will be manifest. Any person that heads in this direction, that promotes the flesh, follows after the flesh, I mean, time will tell. The Bible says if you sow to the flesh, you'll reap corruption. So time will tell, their folly will be manifest. And these two magicians were as well. They were manifest of which side they were on and the pathway of their life. So number three, I don't believe you have this blank. Maybe we got there. I don't think so. Loyal direction. Not only do we see in this passage of Scripture, not only do we see a lustful direction, but we also notice a loyal direction in verse number 10. Now notice the words here of the Apostle Paul to Timothy. Remember, he's revealing these false teachers. He's telling them who they really are. They're promoting the flesh. They're not of God. They are unapproved as God's teachers. They are reprobates concerning the faith. They are not sent by God. But Paul says here in verse number 10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. So think about this. Thou hast fully known my doctrine, verse 10, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my charity, my patience, persecutions, affliction. So here's what we have in this passage of Scripture. We have in this Scripture, Paul is saying, Timothy, you know the message that I preached, and you know the life that I lived. Remember that doctrine determines our manner of life. What we believe about God. There are things that I will not do today because of what I believe about God and who God is. What I believe, my doctrine, the teachings of Christ, affect the way that I live my life. And that's the way it ought to be. You are here tonight because, and some of you are here tonight, not because you feel like it, you're tired. You've worked a long day. And you're here tonight because of your doctrine. You're here because the Bible teaches it's right to be here. And God blesses the individual that puts God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And so you are here because of what you believe about God. You believe that God wants you to be here. And I love what the Bible says here in verse number 10. Underline this in your Bible. This is wonderful. Here's what Paul said. But thou hast fully known my doctrine. There was nothing hidden in Paul's life. He was an open book. Timothy, you fully known. This is interesting. The word there, the Greek structure of fully known, means to walk side by side. I don't know if you've ever taken a long trip with someone and you sat in the passenger seat or you were driving and they were sitting in the passenger seat. But if you take a long drive with someone, you get to know that person. You're side by side. You talk about different things and you get to know that person more and more as you travel and as you take that journey. And the thought in this passage of Scripture is that Timothy and Paul, they ministered together side by side. And Paul says, you've fully known my doctrine. You know what I teach and you know how I live my life. Timothy could closely examine the life and the ministry of Paul the Apostle. Now, it is foolish for us to think that those who are closest to us cannot see those two areas. For myself, I think of my children. My children know what I believe, and they know how I live. And we want to make sure that there's never a contradiction there. We want to make sure that as we walk side by side, as we follow side by side, as we live in close quarters, that our children know what we believe, and they know the life that we live because of who God is to us. And Paul reminds us of this. This is what I believe. This is my doctrine. This is how I live my life. By the way, empty religion doesn't impact how people live. There's an interesting passage of scripture. Actually, let's turn there. First Peter chapter 1. Would you turn there in your Bible? First Peter chapter 1. And think about what Peter's talking about here. If I could quickly, I know this is kind of a rabbit trail, I could quickly give you a context of what's happening. The Christians are going through great persecution, and Peter's trying to calm their hearts down. He's talking about adding to their faith. He's talking about knowing Christ and walking with Christ and giving diligence to your Christian life. And in verse number 18, in 1 Peter chapter 1, I want us to think about what he says here. Verse 18, he says, "For as much as ye know," this is our salvation, this is the context of what we believe, where our salvation comes from, or our power in salvation comes from. He says, I want you to understand, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things." The thought there, corruptible, is things that will not last, temporal things. And he gives examples, silver and gold. And he uses this expression, I think it's interesting, "from your vain conversation." The word vain means empty, and the word conversation is more than just the words you say, but the life you live. An old English word, your conversation speaks of your demeanor, how you live your life. And so he says in this passage of scripture that, listen, you don't just have empty religion that doesn't impact your life. You don't just have a shell of a religion that doesn't change how you live and how you act every day. Not like the traditions of your father, the vain conversation, the empty life that they live from the tradition from your fathers. But he says, verse 19, "But with the precious blood of Christ," this is the power in the gospel, "your sins are washed away and you have new life in Jesus." So we don't have an empty religion. No, what we believe about God, it changes our life. Why do we come together on Sunday mornings, the first day of the week? Well, the Bible says that the disciples gathered together the first day of the week, that early church. Do you know why? Because they believed Jesus was alive. They had seen the risen Lord. And what they believed about God changed the way that they lived their life. And they gathered together on that Sunday morning to celebrate. He's risen. He's alive. What we believe about God must impact the way that we live our life. And so he says here, "You fully know my doctrine." This is what we believe. And then our manner of life. The word there, manner of life, the Greek structure means to lead a life. To lead a life. So it's how you live your life. Your manner of life is how you live your life. The standards you've placed in your life. The direction you place in your life. His purpose of life. Think about the plans and designs of his life. Think about the change in Paul's life when he became a Christian. His faith, his fidelity and his faithfulness to God. Think about the long suffering in his life. Think about all these things that changed in Paul's life because of his doctrine. He says, "This is what I believe. Timothy, you've walked side by side with me. You know what I believe. And you know that what I believe changes how I live my life. It changes my faithfulness to God and my faithfulness to the things and ministry of God, my purpose in life, my long suffering, patience in trial." Now, this is just wonderful. Look what he says in this passage of scripture in verse number 11. He says, "Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch." Now, this is important because that's where Timothy was from. This is where they found in Derbe a young man, a young apostle, a young disciple named Timothy. Derbe is Paul's hometown, Timothy's hometown. And Paul came there. He was left for dead. The persecutions that was upon him, he was left for dead. And Paul says, "Timothy, you see the persecutions. You see the afflictions and how I was left for dead. And how you saw me. They stoned me to death. They wanted me to die. You saw that I got back up and walked back into the city. And I preached the same message that they tried to kill me with. You've seen all of that." Why did he do that? Because of what he believed about God. I mean, if Paul didn't believe that Jesus was a resurrected Savior, he wouldn't have continued. And so this is what he's saying, what we believe about God. And this is so important in our ministry, in our life, is you have to know what you believe about God, or you won't go forward. There'll be times you'll give up. There'll be times you'll quit in ministry and as, you know, in ministering to people. There'll be time you'll give up. You have to know what you believe. Why did I face all of this? It's because of what I believe about God, my doctrine. What we believe about God will impact how we live our life. And he says here at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. This is wonderful. He says, the persecutions I endured, but the Lord delivered me out of them all. It was God that gave him grace and delivered him. God was in control. But Paul endured those. There are things in your life you'll have to endure in the Christian life. God will give you grace, but there are things you have to endure in the Christian life because of what you believe about God. I endure these things because of who God is in my life. Verse 13, he says here in verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So we're going to look at this scripture here. This is number 4. This is a lasting devotion. This is a lasting devotion. Now, in chapter 3 here, it's talking about the last times. It's talking about this church age. It's talking how men, evil men, will wax worse and worse. I think the idea here is, Timothy, it's not going to get better. It's not going to get easier. There's going to be troubles in your life. And notice it says, verse 13, that they'll be deceiving and being deceived. So not only we find that these evil men, these seducers, shall wax worse and worse, but some of them will be deceived. They will think that they're doing God's service. And that was Paul. Paul thought he was doing God's work until he met with Christ on the road to Damascus. Verse number 14, but continue thou in the things that thou hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. A couple of things that we have to look at here. First of all, in verse number 12, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Letter A there in your notes, light and darkness will one day collide. Light and darkness will one day collide. The Bible says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You know, when we are a light, a gospel light, the reality is that we reveal darkness. And people don't like that. When you read the Bible, who gave Christians the most trouble were religious people. You think of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, religious people of that day who put to death the Lord Jesus. And when we live godly or godlike, then the Bible says we will suffer persecution. If you are waving the gospel flag, then you're going to get someone's attention. And someone's not going to like it. And you know what? We've passed out many gospel tracts from our church. And I've gotten many phone calls from people who will say, don't put that garbage in my mailbox. Or why would you do that? And people get convicted with truth. And the Bible says that if you live godlike, if you are a Christian, then you will suffer persecution. The reality is that light and darkness will collide. It's on a collision course. And if you are waving that gospel flag, then people are not going to like it. I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. I want to read a couple of verses here. Oftentimes, and I'm not judging anyone. I mean, God is their judge. But oftentimes, people who follow after the flesh will say, oh, I am just suffering for Jesus. And they're not suffering for being a Christian. This is what the Bible teaches us. If we suffer for being godlike, if you suffer for being annoying, then it's on you, not the Lord. God wants us to preach the truth in love. But I want us to think about this scripture here. Look, chapter 4, verse 12. The Bible says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that which is to try you, as some strange thing has happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Again, the context, the church, the Christians are facing great tribulation, great persecution. Nero is in charge. This was the time when a lot of Christians were taken to the Colosseum in Rome. They were thrown to the lions. They were torn apart. I mean, a horrible time in history for the Christian. Great persecution. Nero was the one that gave the command. And yet, you know, think about how to be Christ-like. What does Peter write to these believers? He said, honor the king. The one that is, you know, pulling out your mom, your dad, or your children, honor the king. This is the spirit of Christ. And he says in this passage of scripture, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. And their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief. By the way, Jesus taught us that being a murderer is more than just a physical act, but hate in your heart. If anyone suffers for a murderer or a thief or an evildoer, or as a busybody in other man's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. There's a big difference for suffering because you're a busybody and suffering because you're Christ-like. And oftentimes people will suffer because they're carnal and say, well, I'm, you know, tear into someone because they, you know, left the gospel track, and that person will holler back at them and they'll get in a big old fight and they'll walk away saying, I'm just suffering for Jesus. No, you're not. You're not suffering for Jesus. You're suffering because you're carnal. And so the Bible says in this passage of scripture, if any man suffer for being Christ-like, let him not be ashamed, but let him glory in God on his behalf. So we see in this passage of scripture, light and darkness will one day collide. Let her be there, sin is progressive. Verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. There's a progression of evil that we find in this world, and things become more normal. There's the principle of depravity where men get worse and worse, and culture gets worse and worse without Christ. Sin is progressive, and we don't have time tonight, but Psalm chapter 1 teaches us of that progression. Evil men and seducers, those that oppose God, those people will become worse and worse, and they will be deceiving more and more, and they themselves will be deceived. Now, we know that chapter 3 is for the church age, but there's no doubt about it. That as we think of the progression, let's go back 100 years ago and think about what was not accepted in Hollywood and what is accepted in Hollywood today. I mean, words that, you know, we would laugh about were shunned by even the world. And now commercials have worse things in them. And we see how the progression of those that oppose God and God's word, how much more it is from 50, 100 years ago. So we see it in our culture. So when we look at chapter 3, don't say, well, Pastor Burns doesn't believe that we're coming to the end of the end. I believe it. There's no doubt about it that we are. What I'm trying to say is that the end days are the church age, but I believe from the progression of our society and the opposition against God, that we're coming to the end of the end. And that's why it's so important for us to be godly lights in this society, so much the more. And so we find in this passage of Scripture that progression, this progression of sin, that those who oppose God will be deceived, and they will also be the ones that deceive. Then let her see there is stand for the truth. Verse 14 says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Be assured, be confirmed in your heart that this is the truth, this which has been taught. Now, who taught Timothy? Does anyone know who is one of Timothy's teachers? Holler it out. Don't be afraid. Paul was one, yep. There was someone else, very, very significant, yes. His mother, that's right. Yeah, you know, his mother was and grandmother were very influential in Timothy's life. And so this is the teaching, not only Paul, but also his mother, his grandmother. This is the influence that was in Timothy's life. And what Paul is saying is, listen, yeah, there's chaos all around you. And yes, there's these false teachers, and they're seducing, they're deceiving. But just remember the confidence that you have in those that taught you. Your mother, your grandmother, myself. Look at what I've taught you and look at how I live my life. All of those other individuals, they talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. They promote the flesh. They live their life for themselves. And what they teach doesn't impact how they live their life. But Timothy, look at my life. And look how what I taught you, the doctrines of my life, has changed the way I live my life. And go back to Derby when they left me for dead, and I went back and I preached the same message. That's not the message of or the actions of a coward, and that's not the actions of someone who has a vain conversation or religion. That's someone who has the power of God upon their life. And so that is what he's saying here. Remember your teachers. The importance of teaching a child the Bible cannot be understated in this passage of Scripture. The Bible that makes a child wise unto salvation or eternal life. Knowing the truth about God and Jesus, God's Son, is so important. Let me just read this here. Barnes said this about a parent teaching a child the Bible, the truth of the Word of God. He says, a parent has no motive for deceiving a child, and it cannot be supposed that he would teach him what he knew to be false. A parent usually has had much more experience and much better opportunities of examining what is true than the child has. There is a degree of respect with nature teaches us to be due to the sentiments of a parent. A child should depart very slowly from the opinions held by a father or a mother. And when it is done, it should be only in the result of prolonged examination of the Word of God and prayer. These considerations should have the greater weight. If a parent has been eminent for piety, especially if the parent has been removed to heaven, a child standing by the grave of a pious father or a mother should reflect and pray much before he adopts opinions which he knows the father or the mother would regard to be wrong. And this is what Paul is saying. Timothy, listen. Think about your teachers, okay? And that's a good lesson for us as well. If somebody comes to you whose life is a mess and they're trying to be your teacher, be very careful about allowing that person to influence your life. If you have somebody that loves the Bible and wants to please God, that's a person that you should follow. What did Paul say? Follow me as I follow Christ. And the moment I stop following Christ, that's the moment you stop following me. And that's why it's important for us to follow Christ so others can follow us. That's what we want in our life, is others to follow us. Letter D there, the Bible is a living book. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The idea there is to breathe upon, or breathing into the soul, in which the word conveys here. Thus, God breathed into the nostrils of Adam, and Adam became a living soul. God breathed, the Savior breathed on the disciples, and they received the Holy Ghost. And so what we're talking about here is receiving life. God breathed. The word inspiration means God breathed. Think about it. God breathed into man's nostrils. He became a living soul. He breathed. Jesus breathed on the disciples, and they received the person of the Holy Spirit. And we have the living Word of God. It's alive. It's quick. The word quick there means alive. It's quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. If the Lord Jesus was preaching tonight at any church, we would run to hear him speak. If God was speaking at any church, we would run to hear him speak. We have God's word. We can take it home tonight and we can read it. When you read the Bible, you're reading the very words of God. What is God thinking about today? Well, let's read about what God thinks about, what God loves, what God cares about. God breathed. This is what the Bible is saying. The Bible's saying that a man of God may be perfect. The word there, perfect, means to be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Bible, its purpose for our life is to make us spiritually mature, that we would be brought to a place to be used of God. It says here, furnished for his work, that we would be brought to a place where God could use us, his will, his plan. Remember that the devil uses the Bible to deceive and to tempt. I think oftentimes we forget about that the devil knows the Bible very well. In fact, didn't he use the Bible to tempt the Lord Jesus? He said, doesn't the Bible, to Jesus, the devil said, you know, the Bible says that if you jump off, the angels will lift you up and carry you up. The devil knows the Bible, and sometimes we need to remember that just because it has Christian on it, or just because it's in the name of Christian, it's not always truth. We need to be careful. We need to be stewards of the Word of God, because labels are just labels. I mean, I can stick a Christian label on anything. I can take a beer bottle and put Christian alcohol. It doesn't make it Christian. It doesn't make it godlike. And so we need to be careful. We got to be careful that we don't become deceived and think just because there's, you know, a Christian label, it's of God. That is not true at all. You know what's of God? When it lines up with this book. That's when it's of God. And that's the only time that it's of God, is when it lines up with his word. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we can have to study your word tonight. And I pray, Lord, your blessing upon these dear folks. Help us, Lord, give us wisdom to make decisions in our life. We pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, let's take our prayer bulletin and let's go to the Lord in prayer.